540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. North Carolina's Governor Roy Cooper has a message for the people in his state without power, without a home, or who are unable to move about because their area's roads are cut off in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene.
Even as the rain and the winds have subsided, the challenge for people there increases. People are desperate for help, and we are pushing to get it to them.
At least 76 people have died. Hundreds are still missing. President Biden said there is federal help for the six states devastated by the storm.
Giving them all of everything that we have. We're on the ground ahead of time, so we're working hard.
WTSP reporter Aaron Parsegian reports on recovery efforts in the Tampa Bay, Florida area.
Families survey damage from storm surge for the third time in about a year.
It's really unfortunate. It's such a beautiful place, and I don't know why it continues to just be decimated.
Chris Fuhrer came home to find several feet of water made its way inside, Helene bringing in 30 inches more than Idalia.
Vice presidential nominees J.D. Vance and Tim Walz are preparing for their only debate to be moderated by CBS News this Tuesday. Republican Congressman Tom Emmer of Minnesota is helping Vance by playing Walz in their mock debate.
Once he understands that Tim Walz is just going to try and deflect and go into this folksy whatever, he'll hold him accountable. I think J.D. will do a great job.
Emmer was on ABC's This Week. Israeli airstrikes have killed not only Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah, but also Iranian Revolutionary Guard leader Abbas Neil Fo'ushan. And as Iran was mourning him, Iran's foreign minister warned the U.S. to expect repercussions, noted by White House National Security spokesman John Kirby.
We've seen the rhetoric coming out of Tehran. We'll watch and see what they do. We certainly will make sure that we have the capability to not only defend our troops and our facilities, diplomats and military, as well as Israel.
Kirby was on CNN's State of the Union. Pope Francis has pledged support for victims of clergy sexual abuse during his visit to Belgium. Anna Matranga reports.
Pope Francis on Sunday denounced the cover-up of clerical sex abuse and said victims should receive more financial compensation. Speaking to a crowd of about 30,000 gathered for a mass in the Brussels Stadium, the Pope said, "I ask the bishops not to cover up abuse, to condemn abusers. Evil must not be hidden. It must be brought out into the open."
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Red Eagle are attended by natives and non-natives. She says her efforts offer a blueprint for creating vibrant language communities around Wisconsin and beyond. The United Nations warns that more than half of the world's languages will become extinct by the year 2100, a direct consequence of colonialism. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. This story was produced with original reporting from Robert Bordeaux for Arts Midwest.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear, a low around 62. Highs near 73, lots of sunshine on your Monday. For Tuesday, sunny with a high near 70 degrees, northwest winds up to 25 miles per hour. For Wednesday, sunshine, highs near 70 and low 70s Thursday.
Currently, 75 degrees.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll be back from California and be catching up on the news as well as Wisconsin events. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine,
Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome into this week's Civic Media Spotlight. Up first, we'll hear from Matt and Air on Air, where Jane, Greg, and Calvin welcomed in Dr. Martha Carlin this week, a former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Strategy, Plans, and Capabilities. She talks about the harm of Project 2025 and the importance of NATO and why having qualified people in positions of civil service keeps the country moving forward.
Jane says! Good morning and welcome Jane to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff. Coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha, Wisconsin. You can join us. You can call or text. It is the same number. And you can leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream as well on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before we get to our next guest, it is our Go for the Green and Gold statewide text to win contest. Text in the word jewelry, J-E-W-E-L-R-Y. And then you could pick up either $100 cash or some lovely gold jewelry. Everyone's going to be in the running for a pair of indoor club-level tickets to see the Green and Gold Monday, December 23rd in Green Bay against New Orleans. Text the word this hour, jewelry, J-E-W-E-L-R-Y. All right, very excited to have our next guest join us. She is a former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Strategy, Plans, and Capabilities with the Department of Defense. Dr. Mara Carlin is here. Good morning, Dr. Carlin. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me, Jane. I am so excited to be here.
Well, I understand you have a Wisconsin connection. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I grew up in Wisconsin. I went to Nicolet High in Milwaukee. Nice. A bunch of my family is still there. And when I land at the airport, the first thing I go do is to immediately get some custard at Cops.
Wow.
Wisconsin is deep in my heart. I mean, I read the flavor forecast every month, as you can imagine.
As do we all.
We have to.
Well, tell us a little bit about your background with the Department of Defense and the kind of work that you did.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have worked for three presidents and six secretaries of defense. On and off over the last 20 years or so. So if you can think of something that happened in the world over the last 20 years or so, I probably touched it somehow from the Department of Defense.
That sounds really frightening.
I feel like anything I say, you're going to be like, I can't talk about it. All right, fine, that's fine.
No. Definitely not. But it's neat. So like in the last job that I had, I was working on thinking through how should we spend about $850 billion. What should the strategy be for the U.S. military? How do we understand the world? What are the conflicts that we're worried about? What are the opportunities ahead? You know, how do we make sure that tomorrow America is just as safe as it is now?
So much to cover.
Yeah.
Really, there's a lot to cover. I want to learn more, first of all, about National Security Action. This is the group who reached out and contacted us to get you on the show. Can you tell us the who makes up this group and what their motivation is?
Yeah, this is a group really dedicated to reminding folks about national security and foreign policy issues.
We have talked to, I'm assuming you're familiar with National Security Leaders for America.
Indeed. And they actually just put out a letter that you might have seen with like nearly 1,000 folks.
Yeah.
I was honored to be one of those folks on it.
Yep. They came out endorsing Kamala Harris for president. We have had a number of their members on over the last few months, and we have a couple more coming up that we're going to talk to right before the November election. But that's quite a statement and quite a show of support for the Harris campaign and quite an indictment of a second potential Trump administration and the dangers that could bring, right?
You're absolutely right, Jane. And what's interesting is it's not just who's signing these letters saying we think the vice president knows exactly what's right in terms of being strong, being a serious commander in chief. What's also interesting is the contrast with the folks who are saying they don't want President Trump to come back. So you look at his secretaries of defense, for example, or his national security advisors. A lot of his top folks are saying, actually, he's pretty reckless. He's pretty impulsive. And this isn't a great idea.
Well, and the other thing that some of the things that I have seen when I'm reading different things about this, something that makes Donald Trump so particularly vulnerable to outside influencers is how easy he is to flatter. and
manipulate.
I mean, it doesn't seem to take much to gain his favor if you flatter him.
It's a great point, Jane. I'll also say what I find a little bit worrisome is how often he's changing his views. And I mean, you might recall a couple of years ago, he was threatening war via Twitter with North Korea. Yeah. And then he quickly backed down. I mean, that sort of impulsive behavior is pretty terrifying. And you can imagine if you're a partner of the United States, you're looking around and saying, hey, what's next? What do we have to worry about next? And yeah, I mean,
That's concerning.
The way he's painted himself now is that he doesn't admonish these leaders, and I'm thinking of Putin or Kim Jong-un. He now, what he does is he acts as the guy who says, I tell them not to do it. They're not going to do it. If I'm there, they won't do it because I tell them they won't do it. Because, you know, dictators really listen to outside advisors on this.
All the time.
When they want to control their people or take over other countries, suppressing freedoms, you know. Donald Trump's here for us.
Spot on, Greg. Look, words are interesting, but actions are what matter.
Yeah.
Right? And when we look at the actions, I mean, President Biden and Vice President Harris have brought together more than 50 countries to help support Ukraine's military. That's an astonishing number. And I'm sure you all know this, but actually most of the assistance that the United States gives to Ukraine's military actually gets spent in the United States, including, most importantly, of course, in the great state of Wisconsin.
But you're right. I mean, a lot of the weapons that we're providing with them are being manufactured in the U.S., correct?
Yeah, absolutely. It's more than 60% or so of the assistance that Ukraine's military has gotten has gone to the U.S. economy, U.S. industry. So it's actually creating jobs. It's an effort to not just invest in what's happening in the free world, but also to invest in America, to invest in America's economy.
Well, and other things that I've seen, Mara, say that what has happened to Russia's armies and Russia's defense forces, that's an investment that is paying off. I mean, without U.S. soldiers on the ground in Ukraine, what the Ukrainians have managed to do to the Russian army has been devastating, absolutely devastating.
I mean, just mind-boggling, Jane, right? The Russians were losing huge numbers, particularly in the first few months of the war, so many more than, say, the U.S. military lost in 20 years of fighting in wars. That's what they lost in months. So absolutely has had a massive impact on them. I would also note it's really reinvigorated a bunch of U.S. allies who've said, actually, we need to invest even more in ourselves. So way back when President Trump was president in 2020, you had about 9 members of NATO spending 2% or more of their GDP on defense. Today, we've got 23. That's a pretty impressive increase.
And that's something that Donald Trump loves to whine about, that they're not paying their fair share. Like there's a bank of NATO, which does not exist. And it's about using their own economy to help fund their own defenses. So obviously not every country is able to do that, but it's not like they're paying nothing. And as you just pointed out, now more of them are saying, you know what, we're going to put more effort into doing this.
Absolutely. I think it's because, frankly, they've had a reliable and steadfast partner in the United States over these last few years. I mean, I have traveled with President Biden to NATO summits and to watch all of these, I mean, tens and tens of countries who are looking to the United States to lead. Effectively, we can have a situation where we have more folks on our team, or we can go it alone, as former President Trump suggests. Usually doing things on your own doesn't work out so hot.
Just out of curiosity, when you have traveled with a President Biden, does he push people out of the way so he can be in the front for pictures?
As a standard question, we ask all of our guests this, by the way.
You ask all of that. Generally, when I have seen the president or the secretaries of defense that I work for, they're pretty thoughtful and respectful
and polite
towards our allies and partners. Yes, absolutely. You're just a lot more successful, right? when you try to work with folks in that regard. You also have to be firm with them, to be sure,
yeah.
right? Firm with your partners, and above all, very firm and serious with your adversaries, right? When you're sitting down with the Russians or with the Chinese, I mean, making it very clear what the United States believes is okay and what we believe is not okay.
Something, Dr. Carlin, you said at the beginning of this interview is that you've worked for how many presidents?
I've worked for 3 presidents and 6 secretaries of defense.
And I think that's important to talk about because that right there is speaking to your expertise that was kept on in the government for so many years. And that is something that if Project 2025 has its way, will not be the case anymore. It will not rely upon people like you have expertise and thought and advice to give to those leaders. It's going to be about who sucks up, the sycophants, the yes men, and the acolytes to those who only see Donald Trump as the leader. And people like yourself will be seen out of the building because they don't want that. They don't want any sort of differing opinion. They want their opinion.
You know, Greg, you're bringing up a really important point. We are in a tough, complex, dangerous time in the world, right? And so making sure that we have the most capable and competent government is really important. Frankly, making sure that we have leaders with experience who are going to be professional, who are going to be serious, and who are going to be prepared and level-headed. I mean, there have been times over the last few years where we've had to be very nervous about things like nuclear weapons, for instance, right? Or wars that are already problematic getting even bigger. And if you don't have kind of serious and thoughtful folks, gosh, I really shudder to think about how some of those situations might have played out.
Well, we've talked quite a bit about Project 2025 and Schedule F and replacing all of these civil servants with essentially sycophants. And I always equate it to think of your least qualified, least accomplished cousin getting a job in the Defense Department because they love Trump and they're MAGA, and that's the only qualification they need. That should terrify everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
It really should, Jane. I mean, this is the U.S. military, right? This is an institution that we respect, a military that is dealing with all sorts of challenges around the world. Kind of the nonpartisan organization that is making sacrifices. Don't we owe it to those folks to be serious, to be prepared?
Absolutely.
We're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Mara Carlin. Stay here.
Matt and Air on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
October 12th and 13th is Waukesha Unlocked. The doors to more than 80 businesses, restaurants, and churches will be unlocked to highlight the city's architecture, history, and behind-the-scenes operations. Tour the city clean water plant or booster pumping station. On Saturday, Bill Quackenbush talks about the history of the Ho-Chunk Nation and the significance of the mounds at Cutler Park. Don't forget to turn in your trail challenge cards at City Hall to be put into a drawing for great prizes. Visit Waukesha Unlocked headquarters at City Hall between 10 and 4 on Saturday or Sunday for more information.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands. Seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota-style 12-grain, multi-grain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Up next on the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. This week, Pat discussed Donald Trump's plan to bring tariffs back, even though we've already seen it negatively affects Wisconsin farmers. Pat says that Trump wants to wield tariffs like a dictator because he'd get to bully specific industries while simultaneously dumping income taxes for the very wealthy.
That's the title track to the film of the same name, That Thing You Do, by Tom Hanks. The track was written by Adam Schlesinger, bass player for Fountains of Wayne. It peaked at number 41 on the Billboard charts, and again released this day in 1996. Remember, you can sign up for the Up North News Daily Newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. Well, it's telling about Donald Trump when the following two words lead a headline. Trump listens. It caught my attention. Like, wait, he did what? It says Trump listens during a farming event in rural Pennsylvania. And the Associated Press story says Donald Trump sat in a large barn in rural Pennsylvania on Monday, asking questions of farmers and offering jokes, but in a rarity for his campaign events, mostly listening. The bombastic former president was unusually restrained at an event about China's influence on the U.S. economy, a roundtable during which farmers and manufacturers expressed concerns about losing their way of life. Well, it starts out that way, and the article points out that this is the listening session. There was a rally that followed, and the Donald Trump that we all know returned. But in between the two, after hearing all these farmers' concerns, he gave his standard answer that he has. And that's the other part of this headline. Trump listens during a farming event in rural Pennsylvania, then threatens John Deere with tariffs. Now, John Deere is, in fact, looking to move some of its manufacturing to Mexico. Trump threatened the company with a 200% tariff if he were to win back the presidency and if they were to try to export manufacturing to Mexico, which, again, on its face, might sound attractive if that's all there was to it, that you're going to pay this penalty if you go. But that's not how trade wars work. With trade wars, as we learned in Donald Trump's first presidency, you raise tariffs on their exports, they raised tariffs on ours. And it did tremendous damage, not just to farmers. Well, it did damage to their export sales. It didn't do as much damage to farmers financially, but here's why. Donald Trump then sent them relief checks totaling $28 billion during his term for a trade war with China where the Wisconsin market for soybeans dried up. So did we make a point there, or did we just add $28 billion to the national debt to make Trump feel good? There have been plenty of articles. They would not be tough to find about the folly of trying to ignite another trade war rather than try to negotiate trade agreements that are fair for all parties involved. And Trump's taking it a step further, in that he's talking about getting rid of the income tax and replacing it with tariffs, which is how the United States operated about 200 years ago before there was, you know, manufacturing and much more of a global economy. We now have that global economy in place with plenty of opportunities for trade to go very well or to go very badly, as happened in the 1930s when Congress got all tariff happy and only made a depression that much worse. And here's the thing. How big would tariffs have to be to replace individual and corporate income taxes? Because right now, individual and corporate income taxes generates $2 trillion a year. Imagine tariffs so high to generate $2 trillion in revenue. How much higher would our prices be in the stores? Because tariffs, contrary to what Donald Trump tells people, tariffs aren't paid by the country. They're not the only ones who pay. That cost gets passed along to the consumer. And so let's say there's a TV set made in China, and now there's a 200% tariff on it. The price is going to go up. The logic is that, well, now you're going to buy an American-made one, except that TVs haven't been made in America in a long time. Sure, it could get us to start or restart an industry like making TVs or making clothing or things like that. But then you know who'd have to take all those new low-end manufacturing jobs? Yeah. The same immigrants that he wants to deport en masse. this is not an actual plan. It's not an actual working plan. But by the way, it's not the full extent of his plan. The full extent of his plan is to help the very wealthy. Because right now, you could make an income tax more progressive, meaning millionaires and billionaires could pay a higher percentage of their income in taxes than, say, you know, teachers and guys who work in a factory. You can make income taxes more progressive. You can make corporate taxes more progressive. But if you swap that out for tariffs, where do the tariffs come from? Well, in Donald Trump's mind, they come from him, like right there where he just threatened John Deere. So what you've got is trading a fair system of taxes that you can always tweak with just giving some guy the power to decide on his own that this company or this industry is going to be punished with tariffs. Do you think he's going to punish millionaires and billionaires with higher taxes? Or do you think that once millionaires and billionaires have their individual taxes taken down substantially, the rest of us are going to make up the difference in higher prices because of tariffs and tariffs that Donald Trump chooses? He chooses who to punish. That's not a way a democracy works in an economy. That's the way a strongman works, the way an authoritarian works. It's the way Donald Trump works. When he talks about tariffs, he's talking about being an authoritarian strongman. The same goes for having the power to deport millions of people, including legal immigrants. The man said he wanted to be a dictator on day one. Believe him already. We'll talk to Julie Lassa from USDA Rural Development about Biden-Harris investments in Wisconsin next. You're up north.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
CBS News brief, at least 76 are dead, a million still without power after Helene ravaged much of the South. Governor Roy Cooper of North Carolina talks about his state as one of the hardest hit.
This is an unprecedented tragedy that requires an unprecedented response.
Israeli airstrikes have left Hezbollah reeling from a string of devastating blows, killing its leader Hassan Nasrallah Friday and its deputy head Nabil Kaouk today. Here's National Security Council's John Kirby on CNN's State of the Union.
They'll try to recover. We're watching to see what they do to try to fill this leadership vacuum. It's going to be tough that much of their command structure has now been wiped out.
Republican Congressman Tom Emmer is helping J.D. Vance prep for Tuesday's debate by playing Tim Walz. On ABC's This Week, Emmer explained how he thinks Vance and former President Donald Trump should campaign.
I think we should stick to the issues. The issues are Donald Trump fixed it once. They broke it. He's going to fix it again.
CBS News Brief, I'm Cooper Lawrence.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Jordan Love returns. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. After missing 2 weeks with an MCL sprain, Love will take over at quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Love said he had been moving around better in practice this week.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I feel like I'm getting better every day. Moving around, getting out there and practicing, things like that is feeling better.
Love added he worked hard to get back for today's border battle.
I've been trying to get back as fast as I can, no matter who the opponent was. But definitely, I mean, you look at this week and NFC North opponent, a 3-0 team, really good team, so it would definitely mean a lot to be able to get back and push myself to get back for this game.
Kickoff against the Minnesota Vikings is at noon. USC dominated Wisconsin football in the second half yesterday, putting up 28 points in the second half to stun the Badgers 38-21. Wisconsin has dropped two in a row and hosts Purdue on Saturday with an 11 a.m. kick. The Brewers, who are locked into the NL's third seed, defeated a potential playoff opponent, the New York Mets, with a 6-0 shutout Saturday. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear, a low around 62. Highs near 73, lots of sunshine on your Monday. For Tuesday, sunny with a high near 70 degrees. Northwest winds up to 25 miles per hour. For Wednesday, sunshine, highs near 70 and low 70s Thursday.
Currently, 75 degrees.
The Spotlight will focus on Governor Tim Walz and Senator J.D. Vance Tuesday night, October 1st. Listen here as the vice presidential candidates debate issues important to you.
Go to the polls as a parent. You should have more power.
A belief that one person can make a difference.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. Special coverage starts at 7:45 p.m. Then listen to the CBS vice presidential debate live at 8, Tuesday, October 1st, here on your local civic media radio station.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes. This man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, State Senator Kelderoy is on how Republicans just keep digging a bigger hole when it comes to women's reproductive health care rights.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. Dom Salvia is up next, and this week he welcomed in Bill Carroll, president of the Wisconsin Teamsters, Joint Council 39. This local of the Teamsters chose to endorse Kamala Harris, despite the National Teamsters organization refusing to give either major party an endorsement. Dom talks with Bill about why the Teamsters 39 decided to chart their own course.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Appreciate you tuning in. Appreciate you listening. If you are playing the Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win statewide contest, the word of the hour is fun, and we are having fun here on the Dom Salvia Show. Super stoked to be joined by a friend. His name is Bill Carroll. He's the president of the Teamsters Joint Council 39. They have three local union affiliates, represent roughly 15,000 workers at three locals across the state of Wisconsin. Bill, welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Good to talk to you, man.
Hey, Dom, it's good to be here. Thanks for asking me back.
Oh, it is my pleasure. It was a lot of fun running into you in Bay Bash here in Milwaukee, a block party down, street party in Bayview, Wisconsin, where I now reside. I saw your crews there in the tent handing out the koozies and the information for the Teamsters. Bill, I got the press release. The council endorses Harris Walz for presidential ticket. Bill, wanted to have you on. Tell us why. Why is this important to you? Why did Teamsters Local 39 endorse Harrison Walz?
So typically that is saved for the International Brotherhood of Teamsters in Washington, D.C. However, they decided to not make an endorsement this year for reasons that still are kind of unclear to me. In light of that, though, or in lieu of that, I should say, the local unions and joint councils across the country have autonomy. So when there's a vacuum, we fill that void, and there was no hesitation on our part to do that.
Bill, you've mentioned a few things in the press here that you're very proud of this administration. The Butch Lewis Act, you're looking for to get the PRO Act done. Let's talk about the Butch Lewis Act here. Why was that so important to the Teamsters?
Well, the Butch Lewis Act was a pension relief bill that saved the pensions of millions of retirees across the country. These pension plans were paid into by these workers throughout their careers, you know, spanning anywhere from 20 to 40 years, maybe even more, that these workers paid into them. And those pensions were put in jeopardy. It primarily stems from the deregulation of the late 70s. A lot of trucking companies went under as a result of that deregulation. Unfortunately, pension plans, due to governmental policy, are lower on the capital structure. So basically, employers that go bankrupt, the employees are the last ones to get paid, in essence. So those pension plans were put in jeopardy. By the early 2000s, the writing was on the wall. There was problems there. We had a very active group of Teamster retirees here in Milwaukee that worked very diligently.
Yeah,
you for a long time.
You were. We talked back then. That's when we really got to know you, Bill. What was your sense, Sean O'Brien, the president of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, showing up at the RNC, perhaps, you know, not invited, uninvited to the DNC? And given the speech, some folks thought it was pretty decent, but the fact that he was even there, you know, Republicans, you know, I think historically, Bill, haven't been great for organized labor. What was your thought on the RNC speech?
Well, you know, I know that it raised a lot of eyebrows.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, and I certainly am not going to speak for General President O'Brien, but I can tell you he has a very unique way of wanting to accomplish things. He does not mind mixing it up with anybody. He did raise a lot of eyebrows. We had a lot of members that were pretty upset that he was going there. But one thing I do know about the general president, though, is he wants to get things accomplished. And in the political environment we are right now, it's almost impossible to do it without bilateral support. You know, so he wants to reach out to some Republicans that may be willing to talk with us to get things done. And that's really, you know, President O'Brien's eye is on the ball, and he wants to get things done for the labor movement, for working families in this country. This is his way of doing it. I can't necessarily say I agree with everything that he does do, but I do know that he is working very diligent for the working class in this country.
Bill Carroll, President Teamsters Joint Council 39, on the line with me. They have endorsed the Harris and Walz campaign. You're hoping to also push through the PRO Act. Can you get into a little bit of that? What's in the act, and why is that important to you?
Well, the PRO Act does several things. One of the things it renders right to work moot in the states that have it. Right now, 26 states are saddled with right to work. That means if a union member decides that they don't want to pay dues anymore, they don't have to. However, they still get to enjoy all the things that the union works hard for their members.
No, all the benefits and none of the price, right, Bill? I mean, that sounds like a deal.
All the benefits, absolutely. All the benefits, none of the price. Meanwhile, the free riders, co-workers are footing the bill, which we just feel is very un-American, if you will.
Bill, some of
that's one thing.
Yeah, okay, go on. Please continue. What else you got?
Well, that's one thing, but it also puts on a timeline. So if you organize a group, there's a definite timeline. Employers can't. One of their favorite tactics is to drag things out as long as they possibly can to discourage the workforce.
Yeah,
we experience that frequently when we're trying to organize groups. It puts a stop to that. There's a number of other features in there that really would enhance collective bargaining and our ability to assist workers when they desire a union to help them achieve that.
Bill, it's been said that President Joe Biden's been the most pro-union president ever. Would you agree with that, and why?
Yes, without a doubt. I think the most pro-union, at least since FDR, who basically implemented the National Labor Relations Act. But, you know, Joe Biden from day one, I mean, the day after he was inaugurated, he fired a very hostile general counsel to the NLRB by the name of Peter Robb and replaced him with Jennifer Abruzzo, who's been a real champion for workers' rights as her inner term as general counsel. President Biden acted on the pension issue that we just discussed decisively, saving those pensions. The list really goes on. I can tell you that the whole Infrastructure Act provided hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of new employment. And these are construction jobs that are subject to prevailing wage laws to keep the wages up. That way they can't get undercut like we have in Wisconsin here, thanks to the Republicans in this state. They outlawed prevailing wage for state and municipal projects here, which really drives wage rates down. It allows for irresponsible bidding from contractors, not saying that all contractors are, but it opens the door for that, and it opens the door for a race to the bottom for working people.
Bill, there's no group that has 100% of its membership that, you know, thinks in one particular way. You represent 15,000 workers in three locals across the state of Wisconsin. Certainly there are some conservatives or Republicans or Trump supporters there. How do you address that, the conflict or the different support within your membership?
Well, listen, I can tell you, you know, when we put our endorsement out last week, we had a number of our members quite triggered, a lot of hair on fire posts on our Facebook. They were very upset. And again, we're not trying to tell our members how to vote, but we're going to let them know what we think.
Yeah.
Because it's our right to do, and I think it's our responsibility. But it's real easy for us. You know, when you look at any citizen out there, they make their decisions based on a number of different issues that are important to them, right? Some people, the gun issue is important to them. Some people, crime. Some people, make their choice based on whether or not they are for or against women have the liberty to make their own healthcare decisions. It's across the board. For us, it's very simple. We look at the candidate, who is the best candidate that will support organized labor and by extension support our members.
Bill Carroll, President, Teamsters Joint Council 39. Contrast with me, if you would. Obviously, supporting Harris and Walz. What was your sense? What was your takeaway? What was your evaluation of the Trump administration and their relationship with organized labor?
Well, there was a lot of talk. I think thinking back to the very beginning of his term, all the false promises that he couldn't deliver on with that carrier situation when they. Said they were going to move all those jobs in Mexico. Trump said he would stop it. He didn't stop it. And everybody seemed to forget about that. Trump said he would help with the pensions. Of course, he sat on his hands that whole time and didn't do a damn thing regarding that. Again, you know, he had heavy favoritism towards the chambers of commerce and employers with the NLRB and his makeup of the NLRB. He advocated for national right to work right across the board. So I think, his candidacy right now, they've talked about this Project 2025. The labor portion of Project 2025 is basically a page out of Scott Walker's playbook. Eliminate public sector unions, right? Eliminate public sector unions, right to work, get rid of Davis-Bacon Act, which is your prevailing wage laws. It's the same playbook that Walker jammed down our throats here in Wisconsin.
Bill, you mentioned the infrastructure bill passed and that it has prevailing wage and some of these protections in it. Are you seeing that this bill is now providing results, that we're actually have shovels on the ground, you know, that work is actually getting done? Are we progressing on this from your perspective, Bill?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just, pretty much on any highway you're driving down now, there's orange barrels all over the place. The proof is, you know, what you see when you drive to work or if you take a trip. There's construction projects all over the place that are putting people to work. Thanks for this infrastructure bill.
Well, Scott Walker was really concerned about the orange barrel fatigue, if I recall, Bill. How about the state of organized labor in general? How are you feeling now, obviously, coming out of COVID? What's the membership like? What's the recruiting like? Is Teamsters growing?
Well, I think that, the Teamsters are growing. We've got a current, we've got an organizing drive or an organizing drive that we won. We're in the process of negotiating our first contract for a funeral home here in Milwaukee even. So we're crossing all kinds of industries. We do have a coffee shop organized. We were actually the first ones in Milwaukee, by the way. I know Collectivo has a contract. We also have a contract down at Likewise Coffee down in the Third Ward. So if you want a good cup of Union coffee, go on down there too.
And what's your sense, Bill, the younger generations coming up? You know, it's been a long road. A lot of folks don't know the history, don't pay attention. Just starting to get out there now. Are the younger generations receptive to the organized labor movement?
I think they're receptive when they learn about it. I don't think there's been an emphasis put on it in public education as much as we'd like to see. But I think if they learn about it and they understand how the dynamic works, that we're stronger when we work together, they're very receptive to it. It gets pretty lonely being an individual fighting against a big company.
Yeah, it does. Bill, anything on your mind, any industry, any positions that you think really needs some organized labor assistance? What do you think the low-hanging fruit is? What do you think is most needed as you look around the country at the labor market?
Well, as I look around the country at the labor market, the most glaring company is Amazon. They've done their level best to prevent any kind of unionization in their company. They've got this DSP model for their drivers. I don't know if you know it, but virtually every driver that you see out on the road is not an employee of Amazon. Regardless of what the truck looks like or what the uniform looks like, they are employees of what they call a DSP, a delivery service partner, who is a contractor or a middleman that gets the packages out for Amazon. It might not mean much to the general public, but that middleman is taking the margin that makes a good job into a miserable job, put it that way.
Bill Carroll, President Teamsters Joint Council 39, endorsing the Harris Walls for presidential ticket. Bill, a friend of ours, we appreciate you coming around, man. Great running into you again. Hope we can continue these conversations more often as we move forward, man.
Yeah, it's great to see you, Dom.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you. Bill Carroll, Teamsters, Joint Council 39. This is the Dom Salvia Show. Coming back with your phone calls, 855-752-4842.
The Dom Salvia Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 4 till 6. To learn more about this show and all the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. The Shaw, WAUK.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to talk about tariffs. We keep hearing this economic term bandied around, and politicians who are talking up tariffs want us to think that it's a good idea to put fees on foreign goods. It's going to, like, protect American businesses and consumers. Turns out, that's not always the case. We can't tax companies that are overseas, so we end up taxing the mostly American-owned and run companies that are just bringing goods in from around the world. So, if tariffs go up by 20%, history and studies show that those companies are going to pass those extra costs right on to me and you. I don't know about you. While prices are coming down, I can't afford to pay 20% more for what I'm buying. So next time you hear some politician talking about tariffs, just remember, the ones being proposed are a tax on Americans being paid by Americans. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wrapping up hour one of this week's Civic Media Spotlight, we'll hear from Earl Ingram. This week on The Earl Ingram Show, we heard about the Republican plan to cut SNAP benefits in the next farm bill. Earl also decides that he can no longer call conservatives the right when they are so clearly in the wrong.
What you doing to the man? All right, welcome back to The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's always good to have Chief Norman, in the studio.
And so one of the reasons I wanted to have him in,
that you keep hearing about the cities being the worst place in the world and that crime is, clearly crime in the city of Milwaukee is a lot bigger than it is Calvin and Eagle, right? I mean, there's a lot more people, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just common sense.
And so, you know, to lead people, as he stated, murders are down from 170 last year at this time to 100. 100 is way too many, right? One is too many. But they're not accentuating that on the right, so-called right side of things. They won't even talk about that. I hate using the term right when I refer to people who are on the far right side of things, because there's nothing right in the things that they say and do. We should say the wrong. They should have a new title, the wrong, because they're always on the wrong side of common sense things. So there's a fight over food stamps, and they claim to be in support of the farmers, right? You constantly hear the Republicans, we support the farmers. Guess who's holding up the farm bill? Republicans. The bill's all set to be signed. You should think about this when you hear them saying the things that they're saying to you. Because listen, food stamps used by tens of thousands of Wisconsin families are on the chopping block in a Republican draft of the federal farm bill, and an impasse over the proposed cut threatens to hinder a much larger spending package that provides subsidies for farms and farmers across the country. The version of the bill proposed by the House Committee on Agriculture in May makes a number of changes to the Federal Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, known as SNAP, the most notable of which is a shift in policy that would effectively cut $30 billion in benefits over the next decade. So hey, Republican politricksters, what do you get out of cutting $30 billion out of food stamps for poor people? Can't you find something else? All they want to do is eat, man. You know? Just shouldn't we as a nation, the wealthiest nation on earth, make sure that people get enough food? Now, whether you're Democrat or Republican, I don't understand that. A breakdown of the funding shows families enrolled in the program would lose a day's worth of benefits each month beginning in 2027, eventually expanding to a cut of 2 days worth of benefits each month by the end of the budget window, according to estimates from the Congressional Budget Office. Hey, guess what, Republicans? Guess who you're starving? Children and the elderly. That's who we're talking about when we talk about food stamps. Do you get a kick out of that? As it stands, an individual person enrolled in SNAP benefits receives $7 per day. That's what people get on average, $7 a day. And they're constantly talking about how much the price of food has gone up. There's so many people hungry in this country today, more so than ever before. And instead of looking at a way to address that, what do? They want to cut it even more.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't even make sense. And I think they have this idea in their head that it's the urban, it's the cities right that are this drain. But there is a considerable population of rural people that are on food stamps as well.
Well, I would say this. Anybody who knows the numbers knows that the majority of the people who are on food stamps aren't people in the urban centers, and they aren't people of color, because we only make up 12% of the population. So this misconception that is had for people on the right, people on the wrong, I'm going to start calling the people on the wrong. So from now on, when you think I'm talking about the right, I'm talking about the wrong. These are people on the wrong. Data from 2022 shows more than 700,000 Wisconsinites were enrolled in the state's food share program The state system within the SNAP benefits are regulated and distributed, making up to about 12% of the state population. Each person enrolled in the program receives $164 a month to spend on groceries. Yeah, it just is another one of those things that I just cannot comprehend. Things that just don't make any sense. The Farm Bill, which contains the spending framework for SNAP benefits, is supposed to be updated every 5 years, but Congress failed to pass a reauthorization bill in 2023. Instead, lawmakers approved a temporary extension of the last iteration of the bill, meaning many of the programs within the spending package are operating at 2018 levels. The last time the legislation was revised by Congress. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
The Earl Ingram Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 8 till 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. This is The Shaw, WAUK. Dom Selvia.
Next time, James Vanderloo, the head of OEC Group, an expert in transatlantic trade and tariffs, will get all wonky with me. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Make a difference in your community today. Find the perfect volunteering opportunity for you at volunteerwisconsin.org or by getting in touch with your local United Way or Volunteer Center. There are so many ways to get involved and make an impact. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw, 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cooper Lawrence. The misery is palpable in the southeast, where drivers in North Carolina are idling for hours just to get gas.
When you can't get gasoline, you can't go anywhere. You can't go buy nothing. Of course, there's nothing open right now.
At least 76 people are dead, with hundreds still missing. President Biden is promising federal help to the six states devastated by Helene. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says the National Guard has been busy.
Florida National Guard by itself has cleared almost 1,200 miles of road. They've rescued 155 personnel and 156 pets.
In neighboring Georgia, residents east of Atlanta were evacuated after a fire at a chemical plant in Rockdale County. The fire chief says a sprinkler had malfunctioned around 5 a.m. at the BioLab plant in Conyers. Water then mixed with a water-reactive chemical, releasing a plume of chemicals. There's no immediate word on injuries. Turning to the Middle East, Israeli airstrikes have reportedly killed another Hezbollah leader. The National Security Council's John Kirby on CNN.
Our support for Israel's security is ironclad. That's not going to change. We are going to continue to make sure they can defend themselves.
The United Nations is providing meals for 1 million people affected by the escalating conflict in Lebanon. Reporter Linda Gradstein in Jerusalem.
The World Food Program said it has begun distributing ready-to-eat food rations, bread, hot meals, and food parcels to shelters across Lebanon 2 days after Israel killed Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah in an airstrike. The UN says 200,000 people are internally displaced in Lebanon and 50,000 have fled to Syria.
Saudi Arabia just announced it's sending medical and relief aid to the front lines in Lebanon. At a rally in Erie, Pennsylvania, former President Donald Trump launched new attacks on Vice President Kamala Harris and the failed Biden-Harris immigration policy.
What she's done is a total disqualifier. She should be disqualified. She should resign the vice presidency and go home to California.
Former Arizona Republican Senator Jeff Flake has also immigration on his mind and joins a growing number of Republicans endorsing Harris. He spoke about it on ABC's This Week.
One thing that she brings to the table is that she knows how to work on a bipartisan basis. And if we do immigration reform that endures, it's going to have to be bipartisan.
And this just in, California Governor Gavin Newsom has vetoed a bill that would have set first-in-the-nation AI safety measures. Analysts say it's considered a major blow to efforts attempting to rein in the homegrown industry that is rapidly evolving with little oversight. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.